Welcome to the Road to Ironman 2020, Becoming a Better Me. This is the six-month journey of three novices, Gerard, Christine and Renzo, taking on what is arguably one of the toughest endurance races of all time.
Full Ironman takes place in Port Elizabeth on the 29th of March 2020. The distances covered are a 3.8-kilometer swim in the sea, a 180-kilometer bike ride and a 42-kilometer run.
And you can follow our journey on this podcast series, and of course you can follow us individually on our social media platforms on Instagram and Facebook. Enjoy this episode.
Hi guys, welcome to episode 18. It's become a custom where we don't try and figure out what we're going to call this episode, but something happens throughout the episode that it's funny or gives us an idea of exactly what we want to chat about. The name of the episode will be revealed when we post it. This episode is dedicated to the people out there that have done Ironman and people that have full-time jobs and kids and a life, something which I'm hoping I'm getting back after this. And then we chatted before starting this episode to get an idea of what we want to chat about. And I think there's a lot of people out there that's putting something like an Ironman on hold until the kids is maybe a little bit bigger or until I've got enough money in the bank. There can be various reasons. And I think this episode should give you guys an idea from three different types of individuals that's busy training for this, and it's 8 weeks away. That you can find time if you really want to. Let's see how it goes. Christine, what's the most frustrating thing with regards to your daily life when it comes to planning for your training?
The last 7 days, I've been so exhausted. I was just saying, on Friday, I was falling asleep about for 10 minutes every hour. So for me, at the moment, I'm really, really feeling tired. So I had to spend the weekend actually taking it easy, because I knew that if I didn't, I wouldn't be able to tackle these next 8 weeks with the energy and with the, I can't think of the word now, you see how tired I am. the next 8 weeks is crucial, so I need to be able to give it 120%. So this weekend I actually just took some time out, and I think I did one run. And I did, what else did I do? Cycle. Oh no, I just did one run the whole weekend, which was pretty cool. But I gave last week a lot of stick and probably overdid it a bit, to be quite honest. But I think the most frustrating thing for me at the moment is trying to get the long rides in as often as I should without jeopardizing the quality of them. The swims and the runs, I'm actually okay, but it's kind of having to juggle the times of day that I train, and just make sure that I get the workouts every week that I need to get in to achieve my goals into the week. I'm quite A-type, so if I know that I have to do 4 rides, 3 runs and 2 swims at the end of the week, I want to be able to tick those off. Sometimes it doesn't always go according to plan, but most of the time, 99% of the time this year so far, I've been able to get through each week having ticked off the workouts I should have done. They're not always happening on the days that I plan them to, but they're happening, which is key.
I'm sitting with a lot that I'm processing at the moment. We didn't speak about this before the episode started. I was quite struck today by the loss of Kobe Bryant in that helicopter crash. And I'm not a basketball fan by any stretch of the imagination, but one thing I loved about him was what he stood for, and he's got that, he's famous for the Mamba mentality, the Black Mamba mentality, and it speaks to exactly what you were talking about now, Christine. It was about how to, in fact, I've got a quote to this that I'd love to read, which speaks to that and speaks to kind of where I'm at, because I think we're at the tough end of Ironman training now, and why, in my opinion, the training makes you an Ironman, not the event. So what Kobe Bryant said is, I have self-doubt, I have insecurity, I have fear of failure. I have nights when I show up at the arena and I'm like, my back hurts, my feet hurt, my knees hurt, I don't have it, I just want to chill. We all have self-doubt. You don't deny it, but you don't capitulate it. You embrace it. And I think that's a really powerful place to step into. And we, if the training is going well and if it's going according to plan for my Ironman, then we should all be hurting and tired and worn down. I know I'm very worn down at the moment. I was swimming this evening and my coach says to me, he stops me halfway and he says to me, are you really tired? I said to him, oh, I'm okay. And he said to me, because you look very tired the way you're swimming. I said to him, oh, I guess I better speed up then. So it's just about getting on top of that and having the mindset to just kind of see it for what it is. But, where you're at is I think, completely normal and natural.
How are you juggling getting the sessions in with your busy, very client-focused kind of career that you have?
I have an alarm that goes off at 3:45 every morning. and then whenever I get a gap during the day, if I see I've got half an hour, and I can get it right, then I go and lie down on my bed for 10 minutes and do a power nap.
Because you are a little bit different in that you've also got a squad that you train with. So you obviously want to train with them at the times when they're training. So have you had to shift your day around or your week around to fit all of that in?
Not really. I'm very fortunate that way. But Christine, I think that is the reason that I'm still on top of my game, is that I've got the squad and it's so motivating. It's in fact, what I realized is that I've been preferring to swim alone and I've not been progressing in my swimming. And so tonight I was so not looking forward to driving into town and swimming with the squad and then I made sure that I was going to drive in and swim with the squad because the guys pushed me. And I actually had a really good swim session tonight because the guys pushed me. Mm. And being in the pool with everybody just leads my game and it brings a different level of accountability. So that's a huge gift the squad gives me.
That's why I create my own squad at gym now. That's why I get so competitive with the other lanes. I don't think they even know that they're part of my training plan. Because I do like pretty much 90% of my training like completely alone. So I end up competing with the people in the lanes next to me or on the watt bike or the poor guy going to work this morning out to Klipjeville on his like old mountain bike. I was just like trying to catch him the whole way. And he was just going to work. He had no shoes on and not even a helmet or anything. I was still battling to catch him.
Turning it into a race.
So yeah, like that's quite interesting that you've got have that dynamic, and then I like do all my training pretty much on my own. What do you think? Like, how are you?
Yeah, for me, coming from a running background where obviously it's difficult with the kids, but what was always nice with the running is it's something you can do early in the morning. During the week, running for 40, 50, 60 minutes is more than sufficient to obviously train for marathons and comrades, etc. And then you do your long runs over weekends. But I've always been a structured, routine type of person. And while you guys are chatting now, I actually realized that another big benefit that Ironman has brought to my life is being able to almost like adapt to change constantly. So because I can't like plan out my week, it's putting in a swim here and it's trying to squeeze in a bike ride there, etc. Every second week I do my long run on Monday morning just because over the weekend with the kids and things, it's just a little bit too difficult. So in a very structured way, I've managed to get comfortable with just slotting in things as I go along, which I think it's a valuable asset to have in your life, especially depending on which industries you're involved in your professional life as well. So it was difficult for me at the beginning because I like to know, okay, well, 6 o'clock I'm going for my run tonight, 7 o'clock I'm going for my swim, and then all of a sudden 70 other things happens. There's things happening in our personal life and with the NPO, etc. And then you can't do it there, and you squeeze it in somewhere else. Or I'm in the Eastern Cape every second week, so I need to fit in a swim here and hopefully try and get a watt bike session in at the gym that side. But I need to travel from PE to East London, so it's the whole time a time management battle that I have with myself. But in the process, it's growing me and it's helping me to be better just in my organizational skills. So that I think is a big benefit. But what obviously the message that I'm trying to get to is that you can make it work. You just need to be committed. And yes, maybe I've not been training as much as I wanted to, but it has helped me to Christine is laughing at my hand signals that I'm throwing here all over the place. But it has helped me to do enough to show up for Ironman and put in a decent time with Christina, and I'm looking forward to that experience. So I think depending on what stage you are in your life, you don't have to go for the sub-10 hour dream in your first Ironman. It's something that you can work towards. Just finishing the Ironman can already be an achievement and a half by itself. So what I'm trying to say is it doesn't matter how difficult and tough your life is, you can find enough time to at least go and take on Ironman and complete it in 17 hours.
And what we found quite useful is, so I know what my week kind of looks like with the things that I'm 100% committed to that I actually can't shift from a work point of view or other engagements like my race at the Pole Cycle Tour on Sunday, which is why I actually entered that race and another one the following weekend. So I know that those are scheduled long runs that are going to happen, like they have to happen. And I'll work everything else around that just so, because I know my bike's weak. So I know that those races, they're both in the area, so I can get extra mileage in by getting to the race and back. So they are my long rides for the week. So it's quite cool that I've scheduled those in. And then we share our calendars for the week, and then we kind of come up with what's going to work for each of us during that week. So we know ahead, and it's a bit easier to plan. But like Gerard said, things do change. But especially like living in one household. But I think just sharing what we're doing when with one another just makes it easier. Even though we often don't end up training together, it does make it easier to get through the week and know that you have the support of the people at home. And I mean, your family is exceptionally supportive of you as well. So I think without that support, it must be this 2 months now of Ironman training must be so hard if you don't have the level of support that all the three of us have got in at home.
Well, absolutely. And I think that, I mean, everybody's got different circumstances, right? So there's no right way that things should be. But I think what you're saying and what is so important is negotiating. So as much as my family are very supportive of my Ironman, there's a lot of negotiating that goes on behind the scenes. I mean, so on Sunday we had to do a 5 1/4 hour ride, which, by the way, Christine, I just want to put it on record. It was a 5 1/4 hour ride. So in the 5 1/4 hours, I rode 138.4 kilometers.
Yeah, man.
And I stopped my bike and I looked at my speedometer and I said, I cannot stop here. Christine's never going to let me hear the end of this. So I got back on my bike and I rode for another couple of minutes so that I got 141
But
point something.
that's better than 138.4.
I got you. So we had that long ride. So 140 Ks on Sunday, and we needed a backup driver. And I had to negotiate very nicely with Murali to sit in a car for 5 1/4 hours driving behind us to shield us from the traffic and carry our water bottles and and all of that stuff. And
sure, she must really love you, hey?
She does. She's an amazing woman. And then I have to negotiate. So she's away next week, this coming weekend, and we've got a big brick training session this weekend. We are going to do all the Ironman distances over the weekend. So Friday, I've got a big swim, the 3.8Ks. Saturday, riding the 180. And then Sunday, I'm running 31, not 42. And that's a lot of hours in the weekend. Marilee's away. She's working out of town. So it's just me and my little guy. And luckily, he's old enough to be independent. But I'm going to negotiate now with him to take care of himself for quite a few hours over the weekend while I'm away. And that's not easy. So it takes a lot of planning. And it's what you were saying. You guys plan together your diaries. And we do that too. Because if you don't, it ain't going to work. Because Ironman is demanding. So you've got to negotiate the support if it's not naturally there for you.
Exactly. And something that I've also done, because I really do think it's important, is I understand, like, the next 8 weeks and even the 4 weeks before this, for me, and I think for all three of us, Ironman is our priority at the moment. There are some other things in our life that will just take a back seat until the end of March. And then, you know, those kind of things can take shape over the course of the year if they have to. So a lot of our lives, and I'm sure your life as well, has been structured around your training. But given that, at the end of February as well, Gerard's doing a full marathon in, like, the Hermanus area. But I've booked the whole weekend to go away. So it also provides that balance. It's somewhere beautiful. It's, yes, he's going to be doing a marathon, but we're going to be staying somewhere lovely. We can possibly go for a sea swim while we're there, a nice bike ride somewhere different. But just that change of scenery and getting out of your routine for a bit and finding some balance and just spending quality time together is also critical, so you can face the next week of hard training again. Unfortunately, it is his birthday on the 15th. Well, not unfortunately, but his birthday is on the 15th of February. But that is our first, or after the 180K bike ride in December, I've scheduled in a 7-hour bike ride for the morning of his birthday. So, but then the next day, we don't have any training scheduled. So that's cool. So there's the balance in that. But he's training on his birthday.
So you're going to get like three Valentine's days because you've got February 14th, then your birthday. And then that off day.
Oh, it sounds amazing.
So, as much as the training is important, the sort of emotional well-being and the kind of just taking that short break to gather yourself and possibly clear your head and just do something not training related for a short space of time is also, I think, just as important.
Yeah, 100%.
Because you don't want to get to the end of this period and you've lost your partner, lost your friends, family doesn't want to talk to you. I mean, that's the reality of some of this, is you can isolate yourself completely.
Absolutely. I mean, there is the joke, and it's quite a sad joke, actually. But they say that if you're not getting divorced by the time you do Ironman, you haven't trained hard enough. So,
true.
So, I mean, that says a lot about, I don't mean tongue in cheek, but it says a lot about how demanding this lifestyle is, and how it is important. And that's what I love about Ironman, because it has taught me so much about balance. So it's really taught me about where to apply my energy, but it's also taught me about balance. But so in the gaps when I'm not training, how am I using my time to invest in my family, of course, in my business, in my clients, in myself, so that I can rest and recover. And just keep an eye on all of those balls and really become more focused on what's important. Oh, yes, and my friends too.
Because you need someone to drink gin with.
I'll always find someone to drink gin with me. And wine.
Just don't start drinking alone. Then you know it's going too far.
Always go Wesley.
Yeah, you can also be creative with with certain aspects of your training. So what we normally do is, especially now that it's summer, we'll go to the beach with the kids, put up the gazebo, do like a beach day, but then for argument's sake, I'll look after the kids and Christine goes and does a sea swim, and when she comes back, I go. So there are ways of incorporating all of it into the family time whilst not taking anything away from it really. But I mean, it's not in everybody's appetite to do something like that. If you want to go to the beach, you just want to chill and lie around. But I think if you've set the goal, those small commitments while still getting to the family, I think is a valuable way of ticking all the boxes. And then obviously when the kids are getting bigger, like obviously I've seen on Facebook, you've taken your little boy for like small triathlons or runs, etc. So there's ways of exposing them to this world in a very I can say small way, but still having fun together, and then you're still doing what you want to do. So it's not like you need to shut the family off completely. You can incorporate it into them. And then, yeah, at some point, it's probably time to give back to the family, either with a big holiday or a big Christmas present or in some other way. But I think if you truly want to become better, you'll try and find ways of working around the frustration of trying to get to everything.
So on that note, I just want to share with you that the biggest wins that I've had in the last month, 2 months, was my little guy. So and I did the Tin Man triathlons last year together. That was really cool. And the bug kind of bit. He wasn't really keen on all the hard work training. And in the last few weeks, going back to school, the guys at school, his teachers, have just told him he needs to join swimming. And he's so amped to join swimming now. So literally in the last week, he suddenly has joined the swimming squad at school, whereas the last 7 years, he's had no interest whatsoever. He's very cultural. But all of a sudden, he wants, because over December and November, every time I went to the pool for a training session, I'd take him with me, so that I could get him off his iPad, and so that, you know, we could spend a little bit of time together, and I'd let him muck about in the pool and do his own thing. I wouldn't force him to train or anything like that, but he'd just muck about and do his own thing. And now all of a sudden the bug is starting to bite. So suddenly he's becoming, you know, more healthily minded. My partner Marilee has started to come through for my swimming sessions and do her own thing. And tomorrow morning, every Tuesday, we've got interval sessions on the bike. And she's coming through to do her own thing. While we ride our intervals, she's doing her own little ride plan. So it's really cool because the family is being attracted to the lifestyle as well. And they're not all going to be like them. And I don't really want that or for them. But it's really nice because now it's something that we're starting to share, which is really lucky.
It,
And
it's
I guess that's what you do, which is so cool.
yeah.
And I think even my coaching clients, they've seen me doing all the swimming, and obviously I post quite a lot on social media, but a lot of my running clients have asked me to start programming swimming into their week as well and give them some workouts to do just as a support of their running or that. Like a lot of them do different things, so they've got quite a busy week. But yeah, about four or five of them now are really like loving the swimming and getting creative with it as well. So it's awesome to see that the influence our lifestyle at the moment around the training and Ironman is having on people around us as well, and just exposing them to something different from what they normally
It's
do.
amazing.
You know, and I also think it almost like eliminates, or I don't know what's the right word, but cancels out the theory of no, but if you're training for Ironman, you don't have a life. I mean, we still get to quite a lot of things from our work perspective and some social responsibility that we do, and then still going to enjoy life and getting shows in here and there. So
Yeah.
is it tough to get to everything? Yes. But are we having fun while we are plotting and scheming to try and organize schedules that aligns and gets everything in? Yes, that is tough, but we do manage, and it's not it's actually not that difficult if you want it hard enough. But yeah, I actually love all of these stories or explanations of how the families get more involved in sport, and that's exactly what we want. And I think we all have the same mindset. We'll never force them to do anything that they don't want to do, but it's amazing how after a couple of months, naturally, because they are seeing the example continuously, they just start to, okay, well, this looks like fun. I can see Daddy smiling the whole time. I can see Auntie Christine is having fun. Let's try this out. And
Yeah.
I think that's the best way of showing to them what is the possibilities out there.
But I mean, let's just be real for a second. So last week, I don't know, we got home in the afternoon and I was finished. I was done. I'd had a double session that day and it was late in the week. And I'm in the car and I'm just exhausted and I get home with my little guy. And I had a moment of, weakness or whatever, where I was just like you could just see I wasn't hiding the fact that I was done with the week. And he looked at me and he said, "Dad, are you okay?" And I said to him, "I'm exhausted, my boy." And he said to me, "Dad, I need to talk to you. I'm worried about how hard you're training for Ironman. I think you're training. I think you shouldn't train as hard as you are." And I was like, "No, that's not going to
Shame, man.
happen." Let's talk about work ethic.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah, so he had 5 seconds of being a little bit worried for me.
Yeah, because that's, you know, I mean, I picked up a, I don't know if it was a stomach bug or food, a little bit of food poisoning or whatever on Monday last week. So I was like out for 24 hours. And I asked Christine to go and fetch the kids at school, where aftercare. And by the time they came back into the house, I was lying in bed at like 5 o'clock in the afternoon, which is something that they're not used to. So they were. The look on their faces was like, "What is that? Busy dying or something?" Because he never goes and
Well, they
sleeps.
ran around at aftercare telling everyone, "Our dad's gonna faint. Our dad's gonna faint." Because I said, "We need to go. Daddy's dizzy." So they got home and it was like trauma.
So yeah, we sometimes don't realize how much attention they do pay to the way we feel and look and what our body language is saying. And it is obviously comforting getting those type of comments to just show you that obviously we know they love us. It's just they're also a little bit worried about us, even if we don't think
Yeah.
they need to be.
Yeah, absolutely. So what's in store for as we wrap up, what's in store for the rest of the week? What have you got planned?
Because I took my rest, my quite like an easier weekend, I actually did a 2 hour bike ride this morning at 5 till 7, and then I did a brick run afterwards and I felt really good. So I went off on my own into the wind, as you saw. That was on the way back. Before that was actually quite nice, but I was going 40 k's into it with a tailwind behind me, so it was much easier. And then, yeah, I've got my cycle race on Sunday. I'll do a long run on Thursday morning at 4 o'clock. I've got a 2.5 hour run. So that's Thursday morning, and then in between that's a couple of shorter watt bikes and some running and rest.
Okay.
And you?
Hello?
Yeah, I've got like a, let's call it a normal week where I'm trying to fit everything. I am flying to Joburg for 2 days. So I'm joining, what's Mike's surname? In
Mike,
Joburg.
oh, from Swim Bike Run. It's a triathlon squad there, a triathlon training
Oh.
squad. SBR,
Yeah.
Sunning Hill.
So I'm joining them for their like track session that
Roscoe, Mike Roscoe. Yeah.
I'm joining them for their track session tomorrow afternoon. Yeah, to just I'm just one of my or my boss. She trains with him, or she's on his squad. So I'm joining them for a track session, and then yeah, in between trying to fit in watt bikes and swims, and then yeah, I'll obviously do a bike ride on probably on Saturday and a long run again Monday morning. I don't know, for some reason, the Monday every second week Monday morning long run gives me a nice, I don't know, upper edge on the week ahead. It's probably the toughest morning to wake up early for a long run. But when I get back, it's like, yes, we're gonna smash this week. So there's a little bit of a mental gain there as well.
I've picked up a niggle in my ATB. It's the first time since June, so I'm seeing the physio tomorrow. But besides that, I've got an interval session on the bike tomorrow morning. Then, depending on what the physio says, I've got a 5 leg run session tomorrow afternoon. I got an easy jog, easy 12K on Wednesday. And then we're swimming again on Wednesday, 3.5Ks with a whole bunch of drills in them. Thursday's hills on the bike. Friday is another 12K run.
And then your big weekend.
And then on Friday, then the weekend starts. So then I've got the 3.8K. So either in the pool with drills or in the sea conditions, 3.8 in the sea. Saturday, the 180 on the bike, and Sunday, the 30. Okay.
Sure, big rig.
So we typically do our long runs and long rides on the weekend. And that's it. So we had a recovery week last week. So the coach warned us this morning. He said, "Hope you enjoyed your recovery week. It was a pretty light week," he said, "because the next few weeks are going to be hell."
Not
Now, I
looking back.
suppose we got one recovery week left in the 7 ahead of us. So we'll probably have 3 weeks of, really hard build up, another recovery week, another 3 weeks of hard build, and then we'll go into taper.
Yeah, it's crazy to think what is episode 19. It feels like yesterday when we all started with this. Now it's becoming a reality.
Yeah, sure. Well, we're not there yet. Got a lot of work to do.
I think we should dedicate this to Kobe Bryant today and then put a nice quote as the podcast title with something re relating, like that quote that you put there. I'll play with the word.
Yeah, perfect. Perfect. I'll send it to you. Yeah, Kobe Bryant and his daughter, Gianna.
Yeah,
Yeah.
sad day. Awesome. Well,
Nice
guys.
short.
Well, let's get some sleep because we've got some shit to do.
I'm gonna really start tomorrow morning. Yes. Good night.
Yeah, tomorrow. So, because Gerrit's going to the airport very early and I'm taking the kids to school. So, I'm going to wake up and try and get all my work done. Like, well, at least get half my day work done by like 6. So then I'll have time to train later on in the day and get to my other appointment. So, yeah, this is the life of an Iron Lady.
That does sound
Priorities.
iron.
Priorities.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Cool.
Well, all the best.
Good luck with the training.
Have an awesome week. Let us know how the weekend goes. If you can stay awake, to send us a message.
Yeah, that's the point. If I can stay awake.
Good luck, man.
Well, thanks a lot. Have a good one.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Bye.